light it if it's exotic and blow it to a zone. They find out who got it and cop a whole joint. Say I didn't warn you, roll a couple up at the same time so the cycle could go around longer. In weed terms, I'm a couple pounds stronger. All I need is one more connect, California. And I ain't gonna rush, I'ma take my time. Stay on my grind, and just blow my mind.
Roll something up so I can just blow.
As always, we want to always start the show off by thanking the sponsors of the show. www.worldmovementrecords.ning.com, www.worldmovement.com, www.worldmovementpublishing.com. Type in World Movement, and that should bring up everything that the conglomerate known as World Movement has going on. Ain't that right, K. Dizzle?
Absolutely. Boy, you couldn't have said it no finer. Boy, golly, I am so proud of you. You've learned something. And they said it couldn't be done. Where they at now? They're naysayers.
All the naysayers. And also, we want to get big. You guys have responded in such overwhelming numbers that we want to give mad shout out. Keep telling your friend. Have your friend tell a friend about Can a Player Play. We rolling hard. We rolling tough. I thought August was our biggest month. You guys have officially made September bigger than August, man. So we feel the love. We appreciate the love. As always.
And if y'all, if any of you guys dial 1-800 blow him, you need to send Can a Player Play they cut. That's all I got to say.
Oh man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the man of international mystery, intrigue, the co-founder, matter of fact, not even the co-founder, the founder of 1-800-BLOW-ME. The
hey,
man.
I can't even play like I didn't even say that now, can I? Because he heard every word. Hey, Joe, did you hear me? Before I start denying.
Now, if you can't get it, you have already cut to the bone of plausible deniability. Deniability would have been you said it before he came on. Then you could be like,
I know, huh? Well, see, that goes to the message I'm trying to get our listeners to receive. Think, before you open your mouth. Think, just try it once in a while.
Oh, I'm on. Oh, how about
you're
that?
You're on, yes, you are. You definitely are on, Joe.
Well, I couldn't have gotten a better introduction. And don't tell anybody, Diddy, that you didn't do it on purpose, because I'm sure you saw my line.
Okay.
And let me officially say, 1-800-BLOW-ME is open for business.
See, Tony, now you're probably glad that I told you we're going to get a cut.
I'm getting a cut.
1-800-BLOW-ME. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a ball. Welcome to the show. Joe from Montana has decided to join us. You know, he's an international. We like having Joe around because Joe adds an air of mystery to the show because nobody knows who the hell Joe is, and he likes it that way.
Mm.
But if you want to find him, Joe, tell him the number again.
Blow me at 1-800-BLOW-ME.
That is where you can find Joe for sure. Segment into today's topic, lovers are lunatics. It is hard to tell these days. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel like Al Pacino and the Godfather right now. Every time I try to get out, you people pull me right back in. Every time I'm like, well, I'm going to expand beyond relationships and expand beyond sex and all that stuff and get into politics, you people pull me right back in.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, I'm going to start off with you gentlemen out there. In today's current events, some of the news that's coming through the pipelines over the internet, on TV stations, in newspapers, it is overwhelming, and I've come to realize that a lot of you gentlemen are most assuredly not in control of your life, let alone your relationships.
Those ain't the bitch-made men, are they?
We're going to get around to the bitch made men. We're definitely going to get around to the bitch made men. And we're going to get around to the ladies, too. But we're going to start off with the fellas because, you know, I like starting off with the fellas so you little feminists and stuff out there don't get y'all panties in a bunch. We the good folks and can a player play. We men over here, we ain't got no satin in our drawers. We don't wear thongs, so this is a testosterone-driven show, but we call out our brothers on their ish all the time. What is happening to us? The first person I want to start off with is the chef who decided not only to whack his wife, he decided he was going to slow cook her for 4 days.
Then what is the question?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
Was he
serving her up? I mean, what was he cooking it for?
And did the guest enjoy it?
I am at a loss for words right now. This dude cut his wife up. Then he decided he was going to slow cook her for 4 days.
Man, I never heard of no barbecued bitch.
Okay, man. I know we're laughing, ladies and gentlemen. And
that
is
wrong.
That is wrong. We're not making light of the young lady losing our life. You know, you're just catching us in a moment where we were just chuckling about 100.
I'll take that barbecued bitch comment back.
Well, I'm going to put in my broiled bitch. How's that? Because if he cooked it for 4 days, she had to be well overdone. And
And what prompted all of that? What could somebody do to somebody to make them want to do some sadistic, over the top shit like that?
We're going to get into that, I'm sure, Tony. Right?
Yes, we're going to touch on that. He alleged that she was stealing from him. They started a restaurant together, and money was missing, and he thought she took it. And not only did he cook her for 4 days, he let everybody around him know he was going to do it. My dude, what planet are you on?
Let me offer a guess. I'm going to be serious about this, too. Look, we're all men, like you said before. We're testosterone-driven, but we're not testosterone crazy. If a guy does this, it isn't just because she stole from him once and she was a perfect angel. Now, I'm not going to excuse this guy for committing cold-blooded murder. But we know when we as men entrust ourselves, our emotions, our passions to supposedly our significant other, and she goes and betrays us, the first time I think most of us forgive. This cannot have been the first time this girl did something to make him feel small, insignificant, or feel like he was her bitch. Again, I'm not going to excuse it, but I doubt if they actually revealed what happened over the course of years.
I agree with him, but I understand.
In my presumption. Mm-hmm.
I am at a loss for words, and trust me, the train is going to keep rolling, because this one is just the tip of the iceberg, that this dude cooking his wife for 4 days in a 55-gallon drum, to the point where she was just mush off the bones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, gentlemen, this is what playerology is all about. Each one teach one. Each one of us, a lot of times us men, myself included, as we grow, we don't think we need to learn the rules of the game. Dealing with women comes with a set of rules of engagement. And yes, like K. Diddy just said, what did you just say? He may not agree with what he did, but he understands. We've all had our buttons pushed. We've all had disappointments. We've all been played, whatever it is that fuels your fire. But come now. Seriously, cooking a woman for 4 days in a 55-gallon drum is a little bit over the top.
The guy snapped. You're absolutely right.
Now, the next one I wanted to, and y'all can go look these stories up. The next one I want to talk about, and I'm going to switch it to the females now. this young lady, I think her husband's name was Brett Bishop. She was up in Everett, Washington. Her and her husband were having problems. Somehow, you know, they couldn't get along. The relationship was falling apart. He moves out. Child Protective Services got involved because they thought she was mentally unstable. And here is where I fault you, fellas. Here is where I fault you. I always tell you in my books, get my books, about dick first thinking. You know this woman is unstable. You have had the courts take your children from her because you knew she was mentally unstable, but somehow she gets you on the phone, invites you over for a night of romance. You decide to show up. After a couple nuts, you fall asleep. Next thing you know, over your head you hear, this young lady decides to take an electric saw and try to cut your damn head off, but you jumped out of bed, you push her, run in the bathroom, she's trying to cut through the door, she stops trying to cut through the door, and tells you there's a burglar in the house, that's why she had an electric saw. Your dumb ass comes out the bathroom,
oh,
believe
God.
Her, and she smashes you over the head with a mallet.
Oh, man. Jesus Christ. Come on, how stupid are you guys?
You end up running out the house calling 911. When 911 comes and they handcuff her, they go in the garage. She has 8 roasting pans, gallons of bleach, large rolls of plastic, and multiple 30-gallon trash bags because she was planning on
gonna chop your ass up.
Hey, man, well, I'm going to gamble this was not a black family.
No, sir, this was not a black family, sir. This was these were members of the Caucasian race. In this
I knew it.
What's your point, Diddy?
What is your point, Diddy?
What the, huh?
Well, my point is, since a lot of us are basically followers, we're not leaders.
Mm.
So, in order for one of those that fit into that particular demographic to do something like that, they would have had to first have been taught, or seen, or shown by some other race or culture.
Yeah. Well, whites are just as stupid as everybody else.
Well, do the disclaimer, Tony.
Whites are just as stupid as blacks and Chinese and all the rest. But it wouldn't have surprised me if it was white, black, Jewish, Chinese.
It wouldn't have surprised you, but I'm just saying, I mean, there was a crapshoot, and the dice came up Caucasian. It did not come up black. That was the point.
Now,
we got to, and gentlemen, this is for you gentlemen out there. I don't get it. You've gone through the courts. You knew she was mentally unstable. You were that hard up for a nut that you let this crazy broad talk you into coming over. You wake up with an electric saw, and the only reason the saw didn't take your head off is because she was not skilled with using a saw. So when she snatched it, and it said, it jerked, and she couldn't get it to your neck fast enough. We have got to cut out dick first thinking.
Man, wait, no, you can't even put that on dick first thinking. That dude wasn't thinking at all. That was no thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was dick propelled.
It was definitely dick propelled. Now, my dude, listen to me. We're just getting rolling, y'all. We're just getting rolling. I'm telling you. Every time I think, okay, we're going to expand, kind of play a plan, we're going to push forward and become more, you know, widespread, y'all pull us back in. Y'all pull us back in. Gentlemen, what is wrong with you? Now, we're moving on to the college professor This man is a world-renowned professor.
But can I say something, Tony, before you go on to him?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, talk about stupidity. Now, well, the part that got me, some, the reason why this guy went over there, not just because he was Dick Papel, but because we as men, we're indoctrinated to try to forgive the female species. I should call them gender, but they're just like subspecies at times. The how we forgive them is because we're indoctrinated to do so. We believe that whatever they do, there's got to be somewhat of a good reason. So she pours on the sweetness, and he's hungry for some fucking pussy. He goes over there, okay? But when he's in the bathroom and the fucking saw is climbing through the door, cutting it down, how the hell do you get out of the bathroom to try to protect the bitch who's trying to kill you when she lies saying, there's a burglar in the house? Come on, that goes beyond stupidity. I don't even know what that is.
Thank you. I have been searching for a word to sum that up. I have been digging within myself because stupidity does not begin to cover it. First you wake up with the electric
shock. That dude knew she was out to get that ass. He needed to quit.
That's got to be another word. I mean, first off, I think abject stupidity is pathological. So this guy went beyond that. This guy is pathologically, freaking, neurologically outside of stupid. He's an alien form. You do not crawl or run into a bathroom, see or hear the goddamn chainsaw on the door, and then rush out to protect your potential murderers on the stupidest lie I've ever heard in my life.
So it boggles my mind personally. Now, you know, when Joe just spoke, I was going to tell you another story, but, you know, Joe gave me a few minutes, and I'm going to go into this other guy. His name was Mr. John Howard. John Howard was married to his wife for years, and he decided it was time to bump his wife off, so he spent 2 years planning it. And while he's planning to bump his wife off, he had a mistress. While he had this mistress, in order to maintain her lifestyle and his, because he perpetrated himself to be a wealthy man, but he worked for a wealthy man, and he had a good life, but he was not a wealthy man, he decided to buy this mistress a $850,000 house. He gave her $500,000 in cash. He paid for her kids to go to school, the best of school. And then when his personal world started collapsing, he decided the best route to go, when his boss found out he embezzled money and was getting on his ass, he decided the best route to go was to whack his wife for the insurance money. And planned it with two bumbling idiots who shot the young woman. Shot the young woman, and she lived, shot her in the face. But she lived to point out exactly who shot her. And the cookie has now come crumbling down on him. And the mistress in her $850,000, $500,000 house is not by his side. So now Mr. John Howard has decided, oh, he wants his wife back, as she sits across the courtroom with one eye. John.
He should have rushed it. He should have waited 3 years instead of two.
John, what can I say to you? John, what words, fellas, when you're concocting these kind of cockamamie, stupid schemes, my dude, first of all, you bought this broad an $850,000 house.
There you go.
You gave this broad a $500,000, and you knew that money wasn't yours, and you knew that the damn chickens were going to come home to roost
there
one
you go.
Day.
Exactly.
What in this coochie? And now
all I know is I don't even want to see no pussy that good.
Don't even want to be tempted, right?
Nope. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be. That shit is crazy right there.
800. That's 1,300 and 1,350,000. No, what is it? 800,000 plus 350. That's
$500,000.
$1,300,000 worth of pussy. Who on this fucking planet is worth $1,300,000 of stolen fucking money for that coochie? You couldn't get five Hollywood celebrities exhumed from their 1920s graves, put together with the fucking juices from all their pussies, and worth $1,300,000 of stolen fucking money. You know is coming out of your ass.
Joe, hold on. That ain't the kicker.
Oh, no. God, please. The kicker is stupid fucking men. Oh, God.
The kicker is the broad ain't even talking to him now.
Hey, get the money! She doesn't need to talk to the sucker. She wanted him going all along. She's glad the cop showed up.
And now he's wearing his wedding ring in the courthouse talking about he loves his wife and wants her back. Hold on, I think we got somebody who's trying to join this conversation.
Oh, but the chickens, I'm in the fucking mood.
Hello?
Yeah. Stanley, how are you guys?
Hey, Stan.
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
Did I hear right? Somebody paid $1.3 million for pussy? Really?
Yes, sir. $1.3 million for some pussy.
Wow.
Stolen money. Not even his. Stolen.
Not
he knows he's going to jail someday.
Damn, yo. I'm sorry. I don't know.
That's a stupid motherfucker.
He must have hooked up with Austin Powers and they went and found pussy below.
I'm with Diddy. I don't want to come across pussy that powerful. Please.
No.
Let's do a book. My pussy's worth $1.3 million.
Stolen money? Jesus Christ.
$1.3 million. I want to put this out there. Seriously, we have got to get better, gentlemen. We have got to do better. When you come up with these schemes, because I've come up with harebrained schemes. We all have. And I'm serious, but I still can't see myself coming up off $1.3 million for some side coochie. Not my wife.
Damn.
Some side coochie.
Well, when you don't believe you as a man of who you are, you're going to be tempted.
Yeah.
Period. If you don't believe as a man, if you don't have a foundation as a man of believing certain stuff as a man, like, I will not be disrespected, and you accept that shit, we can't even talk to you. If you don't believe I'm a man and I don't have to prove myself want you sexually,
Now, we're reaching out. We're, gentlemen, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is a testosterone-driven show. And we're coming at you because we need to have some kind of comeuppance. We need to have some kind of reconciliation or understanding who and what we are as men and understanding your place. And I know women can slice us to pieces. I know women can irritate us just the way we irritate them. But we're not representing for them right now. We're representing for the fellas right now. Like K. Diddy said, we may not support your actions, but we understand. But a man, Clint Eastwood taught me this, and I want to put this out to you. This is from your boy Pretty Tony. You know what I mean? The innovator of the playology movement. A man needs to know his limitations. A man needs to know his limitations. Just like the next story I'm going to get into. A 69-year-old world-renowned college professor gets himself a trophy wife from the Philippines, spends thousands of dollars making her into what he wanted her to look like, his little 29-year-old trophy wife. She comes to America. Whatever it is.
Got a foreign broad at that? Holy shit.
Introduces her to the good life. She enjoys the good life, but then she decides after 5, 6, 7 years, whatever amount of
time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's decided that she wants to venture out on her own. He decides to cut her up, No, first he shot her up.
Wow.
Then he cut her up, and he decides to dump the body parts along the highway. For all you older men out there, let me put you up on some game from your boy Pretty Tony. If you are 69 years old with a 29-year-old wife, enjoy the moment. It is momentary satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in the moment. Appreciate the arm candy. And when the arm candy no longer wants to be with you, replace her ass.
That is not what she meant by traveling.
No, no highways. No, she's a speed bump and a half now, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Now, you have spent an entire, listen to me, you have spent your entire life crafting this career to become a worldwide distinguished gentleman. And yes, we all like something pretty on our arms, and we deserve it as men. But what a lot of y'all are getting caught up in, do you really think if you are 70 years old that a 29-year-old woman is in love with you? Seriously. Let's be realistic. Let's ask ourselves some real questions here. And if she's 29 when you cut her up, that means you got with her in her early 20s.
Mm-hmm. That goes back to what you and Stanley were saying. You, Stoney, about knowing your limits, and Stanley about man knowing his self-worth. You're 70 years old. You're wrinkled as hell. Somebody 25 fucking years old, even a foreign chick, all right? Now, most men, now a lot of men, want foreigners more than American women, and I can't blame them for that. But still, 24, okay, she is still marrying you or being with you either to get a passport or for your status. Don't fall in love with an illusion. And that's what the guy did. It was, to me, it wasn't just arm candy. Men fall in love kind of easily.
Yes, sir. He fell in love. Yeah. And Joe, you're a wise man. He fell in love with the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I'm going to go back to Playology, where I wrote in the book Playology, don't go to strip clubs looking for love. You are being sold a fantasy. Destiny is a fantasy. You go in there and you enjoy the wonderful fantasy, and if you can afford it, you roll out your money to pay for the fantasy. Stay in the moment, fellas. One of y'all are moving really bad, and I'm getting static out of your phone. You've got to stay in the moment, gentlemen. I'm not sure what that was, but we keep it rolling.
That was Diddy.
That was definitely Diddy.
Damn, that's my phone, sorry.
Well, at least we know who's the tattletale.
Yeah, that's me. I go to the principal. Principal Tony, that was Diddy.
That was Diddy. We on here, fellas, I know it seems like we're coming down hard on you. You know, Joe calling you stupid, K. Diddy calling you stupid. I'm Switzerland. I'm not going to call you stupid. I'm going to say you were never given the information that you need to conduct yourself as a man sometimes. We all need a little bit of teaching. I had to learn a lot from K. Diddy and other men who have surrounded me in my life because I was a participant in Dick First Thinking. But seriously, I've always said to older dudes, my dude, if you in your 50s and 60s and getting 20-something-year-old coochie, enjoy it. I had a good friend. I'm not going to call his name. He was in the same situation. He met this young Latina girl when she was like 19 years old. She gave him everything that he was looking for, but he was already creeping up on 46 years old. For the first year or two, she was everything that he wanted and more, and I kept telling him the same line I'm telling you guys out there. Enjoy it, but don't fall for it. Treat her good while she's treating you good. Those are realistic aspirations.
You know, sorry.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you corrected me because it, in some cases, it may be stupidity, but in a lot of cases, again, the brainwashing we've gotten, men do not get the right information about the opposite sex. They do not understand that females are just women, are just human. They're not the feminine mystique. And if more men actually had the information, they would probably act a little bit more rationally. So you're right.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, brother, part of that, too, man, men have not learned how to get out of their own way. Their ego forms a force field around them that blocks out any mostly useful information.
No, that's true. Yeah.
How about
that?
No, that's true.
That's
the
true.
Ego.
Well,
yeah.
The ego, the definite ego.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The crazy thing is, you know, realistically, like I tell people, the male ego is one of the softest egos there is. It gets easily bruised. And then we react. We become reactionary. Instead of processing thoughts, we react to, oh, my ego has been bruised. Oh, she say I can't handle her. Oh, she say my thing ain't big enough. Oh, she say I ain't strong enough. Oh, she says I don't have enough money. All these things that drive the male ego into overdrive, and then we become it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have got to understand. Here's the first rule of the game. I'm giving you this for free. Look yourself in the mirror and realize you are not Superman, dog. None of us are special. We are special to our mothers, and we can be special to ourselves, but we are not that special. To think that, oh, I'm just going to change the whole female agenda. No. What you've got to do is, here go the second part of the game. Make the rules that apply to your life that you are going to live by. And if a woman is around you, she is going to participate in this world. She's not coming into this world. One of their things, oh, I'm going to change him. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to put this coochie on him, and he's going to change his way of thinking. First of all, you need to go on and trim that tree somewhere else, homegirl. And over here in my world, in Tonyville, you are going to participate. And what I'm going to do is try to be a participant in your life.
Hey, the scary part is it's a lot of females out there like chameleons. They'll mold themselves like a piece of clay. They'll mold themselves to fit whatever your agenda is as long as it suits them.
But here's the way to get beyond that, because you're right, Diddy, and you're right, Tony. We're all on the same page, but you put out your boundaries, and you make sure, like Stanley said a few minutes ago, in a way he said it, reciprocation. She's got to give to you, like you said, Tony, near the beginning, she's got to give to you the same you give to them. I personally, you got to spend money on me, not because I'm a gigolo, okay, but because I know for 99% of chicks, money is more important to them than their own children. You've got to show me you're with me because you want to be, not because I have a good personality, not because I'm sexy, not because I provide for you what you want to have provided, but because you're there for me. When you show me...
I said, say it one more time, my brother. Give it to us one more time.
That's it. You got to show me. If you don't show me, you got to sacrifice. You have to show me. You don't show me, you're not in my world.
So, well, we heard it right there. That's what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about? I couldn't... Joe, you said it so eloquently. There you go, gentlemen. We're trying to help y'all. Based upon our experiences and the things that we've been through, we're putting it out there for you. Because I have so many stories in front of me, I'm just picking and choosing which ones I'm sharing with you, because these are the ones that move me. Fellas, 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 we represent for y'all on Can a Player Play. We come here every Sunday in this therapy session, and we talk about life, love, politics, everything in between, because we want to share our life experiences to you. And, of course, shameless plug, the show is built upon the Playerology Trilogy, 3 books for different stages of the game. Stage 1 was Player Steppy Gamer for all you wannabe players out there, but every brother is not a player. That's another thing I need to get through to y'all. Every brother ain't cut out to be a player. Then there's Playerology, where I'm explaining the interaction between male and female. And stage 3, which was who is she and what is she to you, questions you need to ask yourself and ask the woman who's going to be in your life. Because these are very important things, because truth be told, even the most intelligent man, the most well-rounded personality, if your domestic affairs are in shambles, it will eventually roll over into your business affairs, your social interactions, because you're miserable on the inside. Gentlemen, we were not put on this planet to be miserable. We were not put on this planet to be a footnote in a woman's conversation. We were not put on here to be burden bearers of all things wrong with a woman. Self-esteem.
I want to say something else, Tony. It's an offshoot of what you're saying now. About playology is about authenticity. What Stan talks about is self-respect. And to make sure that people don't misunderstand me, because I think Diddy and I are on the same page on this as well, it's not about seducing a woman or getting her to do just what you want to be a Stepford wife. It's about reciprocation. It's about I will do for you as you do for me. If I spend money on me on you, which I don't mind doing, you got to spend money on me. If I'm going to be your partner, your empathic partner, if I'm going to console you when you have some sort of sorrow, whatever it may be, you got to do the same shit for me. You can't just tell me, I'm a man, suck it up. If I go out of my way to do your spare tire, you got to do something for me on the same level. In other words, sacrifice for me according to your abilities. It's not one-sided. I'm not here to seduce you. I'm not here to be your protector and provider. You're supposed to be my mate. You're supposed to do for me the way I do for you. I'm not here to make you my slave. And I'm not here to be your bodyguard or your chef. So I want to make people know that Tony, Diddy, myself, and Stanley, we're all about reciprocation.
Can you
show us?
And that is the key word, Joe. Reciprocation. Keeping the circle closed. We've got to keep the circle closed. Now, for all these gentlemen, and I want to make sure I make it clear, for all these gentlemen that I have talked about and a couple more that I will talk about and their circumstances, I don't know the entirety of their situation nor their life. All I know is the end result of where they are and the actions that they did or that was did upon them, and that is what this show is talking. This is just a conversation to make us think, fellas. Seriously, we have got to start processing thoughts. The next story I'm going to jump into is a gentleman in Las Vegas who was dating a showgirl for a while. And let's just say the showgirl ended up in the floor of his bathroom under the tub. When the story first came out, he was portrayed as this murderous young man. But as the story has been unfolding with his family, you know, stepping up to his reputation, it turns out, going back to what I always talk about, this young lady was not made of sugar and spice and everything nice. She was a very cold-blooded, she was a very jealous, extremely possessive. The young man tried to end the relationship on numerous occasions, but she was not the type of woman you could just leave. She didn't take kindly to things like that because she was used to men being at her beck and call. She was used to men giving her what she wanted and bowing down to her, as the evidence has unfolded, because a couple older gentlemen have came forward and discussed how she took them for rides monetarily. I am not justifying the young man's actions because he should have grabbed his balls. That young lady should not be under his bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, he was not equipped to deal with what he got, because all he was dealing with at the initial was her beauty and that he was dating a showgirl, and that just stroked his ego. What he didn't know, he was dealing with a head case, a possessive, jealous, bust your windows, stab your tires, spray paint your front door, leave a cat cut up on your front step kind of woman. And they are real, fellas.
Yeah, she's not the first one, I'm sure. I've read about other situations as well.
You can't get caught up. Sometimes, once again, know your limitations. Each one of us are not mentally capable of dealing with a certain kind of woman, because she is going to push our buttons. She is going to push our buttons. Are you mentally capable of dealing with that? or are you going to resort to some kind of action that's going to make your life less than? Because right now, all these gentlemen we're referring to, except for the one who escaped the crazy broad trying to cut his head off, have basically lost their freedom. Their life has gone down the drain. All that you have worked for, the little or the lot that you have, is now gone based upon the fact that you were not prepared to deal with whatever situation unfolded.
And what you're talking about is for men to realize your worth. All this stuff could have been avoided, like Tony was saying, grabbing your balls. But even before then, if you see the signs of a woman not treating you, as Stan has referred to multiple times, not on this show in particular, but on other times, she's not treating you with the respect you deserve, you either try to negotiate the relationship so that she can, you know, make her feel that she can trust you and respect you. Maybe she'll feel the inclination to change. But if after that she still doesn't change, she doesn't realize you're a man of worth, you get the fuck out before you grow nuts.
There you go. That's as simple language as you can, you know. Sometimes it just is what it is. You thought it was something and it's not. It, you know, rather than lose your life, limb, or your freedom, it's mm-hmm. best to move on.
Yep.
Women outnumber us in this world, and the old cliche goes, we can't live with them and we can't live without them. So you've got to come up with a strategy to deal with them. You got to come up with a strategy to cope with them. You got to figure out what you will permit in your life and what you won't. And I can tell you this, your dick ain't going to give you that solution. Because beyond doing the things that you do sexually, what else is there to her?
Suppose I'm glad you brought that up. I'll wait till you finish.
Suppose you have that she has baggage from yesteryear that you just ain't cut out to deal with. Suppose you have baggage from yesteryear or right now that she's not cut out to deal with. You can't force the triangle into the square.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Tony. Good point. The thing is, guys, take a look at the girl in front of you. If she's not giving you your emotional support, she's not backing you up, stop looking at her face, her tits, her pussy, and ask yourself, if she didn't have that pussy, what good would she be? And if you can't get an honest answer that she would be your best friend without that pussy, you've got yourself an illusion. Drop it.
Real talk. And that's it. Once again, my man Joe told y'all he's giving you game. Joe say he's been hollering on this podium for well over 20 years, but fellas wasn't listening.
That's it. Over 20 years, even in college. One of my college classes was a speech on similar to this. You know, the whole basis, the foundation. Men, you are men. You know, don't let a woman, just because she's a woman, don't let her make you think that you've got to be the protector, the provider all the time. You're a man. What is she doing for you? Reciprocate. 20 years. Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And what we're going to do right now is make sure we plug www.worldmovementrecords.name.com, the official sponsors of the show. And we're going to keep rolling right along. Each and every Sunday we come here and present. And before I go any further, I want to make sure I also say, if you're not registered to vote, please get out and get registered to vote. Voting is a very important
activity.
I can't even come up with thoughts. Yeah, activity. Because my mind's still on the fellas that I just got to talking about.
I don't even want to think about those poor suckers. Jesus, how stupid are you? I'm sorry. I'm just.
You know, get out there and vote. Yeah. Whoever it is that you're going to vote for, make sure you're not voting for a soundbite. You're voting for things that are really of concern to you. Mm-hmm. Because truthfully, after the election, we ain't going to see none of these damn politicians no more for 4 more years. So you better get their damn attention while you bloody well can.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk.
Yeah.
That's the public service announcement for today. Fellas, today's show has been all about you. Women are not made of sugar and spice and everything nice. You have got to get to know. Sometimes you are sleeping with the enemy and you don't even know.
There you go.
And I'm gonna give you some more games. Once again, this comes straight out of the book, Playerology, where I tell you fellas this. Sometimes the best sex in the world comes from the worst person for you. And I want you fellas to sit and think about that. And women too. The person, think back to the person that you've ever had the best sex with. What kind of chemistry did you have beyond the sex?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it was just purely animalistic. But in this Puritan society that we have been brought up in, they've tried to paint it, oh, well, no, sex is marriage and sex. No. Sometimes our animal instinct kick in. The pheromones and the hormones and the estrogen and the testosterone get to bubbling in us, and you just need a piece of that ass. That does not mean that you should turn something that should have been a one-night stand into a year-long relationship or a two-year-long relationship. And then years later when you look back at it, you realize the chaos that you allowed to come into your life based upon some momentary satisfaction. Real talk.
And men, don't forget this. Women can change in a second. They can love you on Monday and be predisposed on Tuesdays to hate you on Wednesday. They can change for irrational reasons. Sometimes, or a lot of times, it's not even due to your fault. Set your boundaries. Have your agreements. Your moments of consent, of being consensual with one another, knowing what it is that you can tolerate, that you want to give, and then have him, you and her abide by those rules, and you will save yourself a lot of grief.
And you got to be committed. And here's the part that sometimes we're all guilty of. Even when we set the boundaries, even when we set the rules and the regulations, sometimes we break them and bend because we justified something. And then the end result is what you already knew was going to happen, because these rules and regulations and what you have lived by have worked for you.
Right. Don't make exceptions just for the chemistry. Yeah, you know, it's natural to say, you know what, this is great. We should prolong this. We should make this better. Absolutely. But if she is lying, if she can't abide, if she's saying, yes, I agree with what you say, and then in the near future or later on, she decides that she's not going to abide by what she said she would do, guys, she's a fucking liar. You don't want to be with a liar. A liar turns into somebody wielding a fucking chainsaw.
and smashing you over the head with a mallet, telling you that it's a burglar in the damn house.
Burglar
and you're
coming
out, the bathroom believing.
Jesus.
I think on this path that we call life, people should pay attention to where they are at all times anyway, because the road has a tendency to change, as do people. You know, so if you're paying attention, you know, you kind of be abreast of certain things, man. But people have a tendency to put blinders on, and they just assume or expect people to be a certain way, but circumstances cause other reactions in people.
Yeah.
There it is.
And here's a good test, guys. It's something that you can take with you right now. You're married. Let's say you get unemployed, and your woman starts changing on you, it's not because of the money. It's because her attitude was she put you on a pedestal because of your particular status and money, and because she believed that she was supposed to be the protector and the provider. All of a sudden, you're not making money anymore. She's supposed to be there to back you up while you're looking for a job.
Yes, sir.
Supposed to be her turn without that extra BS that a lot of them come with.
Yes, sir. And you see, that is the key right there. And fellas, I hope y'all are listening, and y'all seem to be listening because thousands of y'all are tuning in. I told you that y'all made last month, well, September. August was our biggest month. September has now officially blown August out the water. And
good.
We're going to make October even bigger. Listen to some of the simple. None of what we're telling you is rocket science.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just the way, and sometimes, and fellas, I put this on you because it's your balls. When you were born, your mama and your daddy assigned those balls to you. Even if you have the status, even if you can afford to pay for every meal and every outing that y'all go on, sometimes you should take a step back and say, babe, you pay tonight, just to hear what she's going to say.
Very good.
Sometimes even when you have the money, say, babe, you know what? A check that I was waiting for from Hong Kong didn't come. You might have to hold me down on my rent this month. Can you do that for me, sweetheart? Just to see how she reacts. Just to see how she reacts for you finally asking for something. Joel said it, and it's a key word. In every book I write, this word, reciprocation. Every single book I've ever written is about the word reciprocation because it's not always about taking. I've never been one of those kind of brothers who encourage men to just constantly be taken, but we should damn sure receive. One of my mottos is you're not getting a diamond ring from me and bring me a damn Walmart pie on Valentine's Day. I'm the type of brother throw that Walmart pie right back in your face.
Yeah, there's, you got that right. I am a man of worth simply because I was born a man.
There you go. Go and buy my favorite cologne. Ask me what it is that I like. If I care about you, I'm not going to, and I know your status and you in my world, I'm not going to put more on you than I think you can bear because I got to conduct myself as a grown man. So if you've been hitting at the diamond pendant that you've seen at K Jeweler or whatever jeweler you saw it at, and you know that I'm going to get it, you're supposed to in turn say, babe, what would put a smile on my baby's face this Valentine's Day? And that's what I expect from you, not a damn $9. I'm giving you a $1,900 pendant, a $900 pendant, a $150 pendant, whatever my budget is. And that's another thing we're going to talk about on another show. It's about staying in your budget. What I look like taking a damn value meal from McDonald's from you for Valentine's Day or a friggin' 99-cent roll that you bought from Lupita on the corner, but you coming up the steps expecting that beautiful package with the ribbon on it with diamonds in it. Fuck out of the fluff.
That's it.
Anyway.
That's it. That fucking tie, that nice little shirt, I don't want to see it two fucking years in a row. Show me you care. Show it. I got to show you. You show me.
Show me and I'll show you. And that's real talk. And on that note, thank you so much for everybody that's going to check us out in the archives. Kind of play a play. Your boy, Pretty Tony, Joe from Montana, the international man of mystery and intrigue, founder of 1-800-BLOWING.
You got that right.
The esteemed K. Diddy, Dr. K. Diddy, Esquire, the Elixir of Love. You can keep up with him at KDiddy1 on Twitter. And, of course, you can follow your boy, Pretty Tony, on Twitter at Selassie's Son, SELASSIESON. Support the movement. Type in Playerology. Get to know me. On that note, I'm going to let a good friend of mine take you out of here because she's telling you about what females go through sometimes. Miss Savin Gavia.